It is a cold night on December 21st, I believe it is today. It's a Sunday night. And as I mentioned in the last podcast I did, XO number 11, if you heard that, probably you did if you heard this, if you're hearing this. All of a sudden tsunami of activity, I'm moving to Toronto pretty soon. My big plan was to just ride out the winter, borrow a... I know a guy with a Nintendo Wii, I know another guy with an Xbox, I got a big stack of games I haven't played because I've been way out of the loop with video games. So I was just gonna hibernate for the winter and play video games. Wait until the spring to move somewhere else. But when you can move somewhere with somebody, that changes the whole thing. It's like, well, shit, someone's willing to come with me, fuck it, I mean. Alright, let's go! Let's go! And he's only going for a couple months. I'm going to probably stay longer. But, yeah, back on track. Exciting things are happening. I don't know. It is cool, but it's always weird. It's weird leaving places, especially right around Christmas. Christmas is just such a weird time of year. I don't know. All this family togetherness and stuff, it's tough to do. Every time I move home, I'm always thinking in the back of my mind that I should try to reconnect with my brother. And at least on the plus side, I finally gave up on that one this time. It's just like, fuck it, that's not gonna happen. It's not realistic, it's not my fucking... It's not for me to do, it's beyond my abilities anyway. So I'm just kind of making the rounds, hanging out with the people I tend to hang out with for the last time before I go, because, you know, like I said, it was gonna be a two-month trip, but I'm thinking more and more, I'll probably try to stay. Kind of makes more sense. And I don't know, why bother? Why bother getting all into it? I guess it's just that I just was at a friend's place and just got back home and, you know, I don't know, ran into my mom and basically her animals drive me insane. I've decided I'm not an animal person. This whole fucking time I've been back home, it's just dogs barking and cats under your feet. I understand why people kick cats. When a fucking cat is just everywhere you try to walk for like... just 12 times in a row. It's like, fuck off, cat. Get the fuck out of my way. And these dogs just bark and bark and bark and bark all the fucking time. And one of them shits in the house all the time. It's like, what is the benefit to this? But on the other hand, I was at my friend Terry's house and his cat is totally cool and mellow and just comes and lays on your lap. And that's fun. So I don't know. Good animals, sure, but annoying animals can go fuck themselves. And then I ran into my dad and I don't know, just to... You know, it's always just tough to get conversation going with that guy. It's just, I don't know, the whole thing is a little bit awkward. Then I happened to listen to this song about Fat Mike from NoFX, how his parents are both dead now. So it's about how he's an orphan now, his orphan year. No more parents. So, the whole thing just got me a little bit down. And that's really what ham radio was always about. I mean, I don't mean to disparage it, because that's fucking annoying. I hate it when people... do something that I enjoy and then they're all like, oh, this sucks anyway, it's so shitty, why would anyone even care? Why are you fucking doing it then? But it's pretty indisputable that XO is a much better program. Ham radio is just off the top of the head. It's impossible to fuck up. You just do it and it happens. Really no editing to speak of, stream of consciousness blabbing. But particularly when I was in New York, it really did help me stay sane. Did help level me out and make me feel better. So let's do that, even though it's freezing cold outside. Let me chronicle what I'm wearing right now. I got the long underwear on and big thick socks, jeans of course, t-shirt, thermal shirt, Keith and the Girl hoodie, Strange Adventures comic shop hoodie, and leather jacket. Two winter hats, both hoods. And really, it's doing me pretty well. The only problem is I got two pairs of those stretchy gloves on, but there's only so much you can do with your hands, your fingers. They still get cold. But anyway, we'll see how long I can stand to be out here. Here's Fat Mike with My Orphan Year.
My father had dementia. He lied in bed for months. Once in a while he'd call me and ask me to fly down. I told him that I'd love to, but I had things to do. And so he died without his son. I heard about it drunk after a show. My mother battled cancer for over 7 years. I nursed her and I held her when time was running out. The night before she left me, I drank scotch all night and thanked her for everything she'd done. Raising me alone wasn't much fun. So Dad, I can't forgive you, but I'll never forget. Months I wouldn't see you, and when I did, you'd be out with your friends all night, alone and only 9. I'd watch the Outer Limits, scared out of my mind. I wonder if you felt the same the days before you died. I wonder if you even knew why I wouldn't come around. I bet if you had been there, there wouldn't be this song. Goodbye, parents. For once, I'm sincere. 2006, that was my orphan year.
Run into a surprising number of people out here considering how fucking cold it is. I mean, it's only been like 3 people so far, but I would expect 0. I think it's just because no matter how shitty it is outside, I mean, unless it's just insane shitty, and even then, after a while, it's just you gotta get outside sometimes. I mean, part of it is just that I never got a license and don't own a car. Kinda have to walk a lot, but I like it. I like just walking places. I have a pretty sweet metabolism, but I think part of why I'm not a big, terrible, fucking amoeba blob of a person is that I don't fucking blink at walking like an hour and a half to get someplace. I don't give a fuck. I like it. Or to get no place, just to get the fuck out of here. Go do something. Breathe some fresh air. Get some nature. I think I appreciate nature a little more. Just because of getting older and because of all that New York horse shit. I was actually at a church last weekend. My niece Allie was in like a little church play thing where she played the Virgin Mary. First time I've been in a church in a long time, and it's a weird mix of just being boring and being creepy. People think that any religion's good enough, it'll all get you to heaven. It's just not true. Except said like a Canadian, not a southerner. I can't really do a Canadian accent besides the one that I have, but other people have it stronger than me. Anyway, while this fucking weird preacher guy was going on about his made-up bullshit, it was nice to just happen to be sitting by a window, just sort of turn my head and look outside, and hey, there's a bunch of trees and snow and wilderness and outside, and it's just like, you know, just calming. It's not fucking retarded, it's just, whew. And even the cold, I've learned to appreciate a lot more. Me and my friend Terry were just talking last night about how, or this morning, I guess, at like 4 in the morning, about how there's a lot of positives to being in the cold winter north. Well, I realize that there's pluses to it from how much New York sucks dick, because it's just too full, there's just too many people. And as you go further and further south, it just gets worse and worse, just packed full of people. And people lead to noise and garbage and filth and awfulness. And just the crazy poisonous animals and just horrible, bleh, just terrible. It's a whole mess. It's kind of nice to be finally glad that I'm Canadian and feel a kinship with the Great North instead of feeling antagonistic toward it. However, this is a little bit awful northerly. Toronto's a little further south. I think that could suit me just fine. Anyway, speaking of NoFX, somebody the other day told me that they like these ham radio shows and that I got them into, who was it, Saul Williams, Gym Class Heroes, and NoFX, three of my favorites. And in particular, they said they really liked the NoFX episode of Ham Radio I did, which I'd kind of forgotten about. It's like episode 40-something, 43, 46. So I re-listened to it, and it really is good. Like, some of these shows are just kind of, you know, I don't know what's going on here. I'm just rambling. What is the point? But that one was a good one. It was a lot more focused, had a lot more of a point. And this little journey through NoFX, it was kind of fun to listen back to. It's a good fucking band. But now, unrelated to any of that, let's listen to another song. This is Spinnerette, Brody Dahl's band, and a song called Cupid. funny how little parts of songs can stick with me. I mean, I like that whole song, but especially right at the end. The little ooh-hoo part. I love that part of that song. Don't say that you aim to please. Don't say that you love love. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. I want to lay there. Da-dum-dum, da-dum-dum, da-dum-dum-dum. That little part at the end, I like that part a lot. That was the band that put out a 4-song EP that I was really into. 3 of the 4 songs I totally loved. Listened to it like crazy, but then once the full album came out, it was just too much for me to digest. That's just not how I don't know, it's not how I absorb music anymore. And it's a bugger when I try, man. That fucking song, that band Pinback that does that song Fortress that I played on Ham Radio. I used it in XO. I used it in Here's the Fucking Videos. I love that song. I fought my way through that particular album several times. Sure that there must be at least one other good song, but I couldn't find one. I like what Billy Corgan is doing now, the Smashing Pumpkins guy. His new technique is not to put out a whole big album because it's such a big production and it's so much work to try to get an entire album together, which in his case can be a double album sometimes, just a huge amount of work, and songs kind of can fall to the wayside and not get the attention they deserve, and the world's just not that world anyway. Buying albums, who gives a shit about that? That doesn't work anymore. So he's like, no more of that, no more albums. He just is gonna put out songs, one song at a time, every 4 or 6 weeks, whenever they're done. And then when it's eventually all finished, he'll release it as an album that the hardcores can buy, sort of like what Trent Reznor does. Gives the shit away, but then if you want to buy it, you can. Which I think is fucking cool. That makes total sense to me. Give it away one song at a time. That's like the best thing. I love that idea. So he's only put out one song so far. And I'm not going to play it because I don't think it's good enough. I don't love it. But the very first time I heard it, I didn't think much of it at all. But since it's just the one song and it's so digestible, I ended up listening to it like 6 or 7 times. And when I do like it now. It's in my little rotation. But it hasn't grown on me enough to play on this show. But hey, instead of playing a song that I'm still 50-50 about, let's play a song that is kind of only for me. This is a demo version of Every Day's Forecast by the Gym Class Heroes, one of my favorite songs that they did back in the day. And this is kind of not a very good demo, you know? It's kind of shitty quality. The song is just kind of ragtag and loose. Basically, if you already know the original song, it's cool to hear this because you can hear where the song that you know and love came from. It's in there, you know? It's buried in there. You're like, oh yeah, there's a really good song hidden in there. But just this song at face value, maybe not so hot. So enjoy or don't. Here's Gym Class Heroes with an old demo.
Another broken link for anyone who thinks my life's together. I rock a raincoat despite the pleasant weather. God's placed a permanent dark cloud above my head, but he was nice enough to loan me a holy umbrella. Well, thank you, fella, how considerate. I'm the illegitimate son of accident-prone degenerates. Every day's forecast, partly cloudy with a good chance of rain. So I wear my sarcasm badge proudly and flash a devilish grin. That'll make the most masculine of men skeptical of his existence. And when the rain begins, I'll take a seat to retire and admire the spectacle from a distance. But instance, there was this cat the other day shooting me ice grills, but when I looked, he looked the other way. Now any other day, I wouldn't let this type of shit bother me. Today it was enough to make my lucky charm soggy. So finally I stepped to him, kindly disrespected, looked him dead in the eyes and analyzed how it affected him. He broke down in tears, talking about how Jesus neglected him. Simple, ugly duckling offspring with God's reflection.
Make this pain go away. This would be much better. I swear,
inflate my swollen ego, then pop pop with my God complex. I never thought 19 years after my first breath I'd be in art school surrounded by corny fucks debating who's more depressed. I'm 21 now and still can't deal with what's real, but I'll be damned if I give up and settle for pills. Daddy taught me better. Mommy taught me how to crack 40s and jack six packs and oversized sweaters. Over time, weather changed, so I'm in the rain waiting for the floodgates to open. Impersonating my favorite VH1 behind the music tragedy. Catastrophe never tasted so acidic before. pH balance for the floor was strong enough to stay afloat. And doggy paddle long enough to catch that life preserver rope. And then I'll be on the parallel ladder laughing like, damn, my man, for the love of Pete, what happened? Finally, I'll step to you, kind of disrespect you. Look you dead in the eyes and analyze how it affects. Watch you break down in tears, talking about how Jesus neglected you. Misdirected the definition of pitiful. Wash away like your very last mask that got wet the second you struck it. Well, go ahead, relieve your stress. Kick that bucket or you want a cigarette that never matters what you're stuck with. You ever watch a whole day wash away like your very last mask that got wet the second you struck it? Well, go ahead, relieve your stress. Kick that bucket or you want a cigarette that never matters what you're stuck with. You ever watch a whole day wash away like your very last mask that got wet the second you struck it? Well, go ahead, relieve your stress. Kick that bucket or you want a cigarette that never matters what you're stuck with. You ever watch a whole day wash away like your very last mask that got wet the second you struck it? Well, go ahead, relieve your stress, kick that bucket on. You want a cigarette that never matters what you're stuck with, fam. A cigarette that never matters what you're stuck with, fam. A cigarette that never matters what you're stuck with.
That's still a pretty cool song, even in demo form. The choruses are still really good. The verses are a little all over the place. You know, I do feel much better. I really kind of, since I don't do these as often now, I kind of forgot the therapeutic value. It's such a weird thing. It's like getting out of your head and yet inside your head at the same time. Because, I mean, it's just me talking, stream of consciousness, you know, sort of getting in touch with myself a little bit. But at the same time, it's just nice. It sort of quiets the weird, neurotic, annoying bullshit flying around in my head at the same time. Plus, I get to listen to cool tunes. This is an old 80s song. I'm pretty sure this guy's Canadian. It's this song by Lawrence Gowan called You're a Strange Animal that was a big hit. In the 80s, I was a big fan of a lot of these 80s radio hits when I was a kid, because they're fucking catchy as shit. How could you not be? And now hearing it again, this song really makes me think of that girl, Ian, that I was dating in New York. She seemed like a very strange kind of person that I couldn't quite wrap my head around. And ultimately, couldn't really get along with extremely well. But undeniably compelling. I felt compelled to follow, compelled to chase her, to try to unravel this mystery. And man, well, I guess I talked about it in one of the XOs, but it does bum me out. Just the other day, they're doing the Keith and the Girl Awards, the year-end stuff, just in their little chat room while it was going on, and somebody was like, they were talking about best and worst guests of the year, which is just shit they do. Just to stir shit for no good reason. And somebody in the chat room was like, Ian, worst guest, even though she's only on twice. And I'm pretty sure it wasn't even in 2009. And man, that shit gets me down. Fucking Keith and the Girl fans. Like, there's so many cool ones, but just the annoying ones are so fucking annoying. That was a gift I gave to you, douchebags. The fact that you even had the opportunity to get to know that girl in any way. For you to be anything less than appreciative just deserves a fucking punch in the mouth. Man, that would be fun. Because, you know, if I ever met any of these fucking retards in real life, they would not be confrontational in the least. they'd laugh it off, or they'd just be big pussies, or they'd deny they said it, or they'd try to be my buddy. But man, it would be nice to just fucking sock someone in the fucking face. I'm really not much of a fighter. I've been in a few fights, but not what you'd call an experienced fucking brawler. But the difference is that I would totally put somebody in the hospital. Man, that would be great. Just fucking go off the handle and just beat someone into fucking pulp. People aren't willing to do that. That's why you get these fights that are just tough words and, oh, there's gonna be a fight, and everybody talks a lot of shit and nothing fucking happens. It'd be nice to take one of these little internet fucking nerds and just punch him right in the fucking teeth. Bam! How do you like your fucking opinion now, shitface? I would totally do that. Ha ha! Then I'd be deported. Because it could only ever happen probably in, you know, New York. Some April 15th bullshit. But man, it would be fun. Just grab someone by the hair and just knee them in the face. Just over and over. See, no one expects you to really do that. And that's where it would just... I'm so confident that I would win almost any fight. Because I would totally... If I actually got to that point where I just decided, you know what, fuck this. Let's turn off the part of my brain that is reasonable in any way. Oh, I could beat the shit out of somebody. Oh, man. People twice my size would be fucking on the pavement in a fucking pile, just shocked. Shocked that this was even really happening. Ha ha, ha ha. While I just unloaded my foot into their fucking teeth. So anyway, from Mentally Unbalanced Theater, let's listen to our latest selection, You're a Strange Animal by Gowan.
But you're a strange animal. I got-
Man, that totally is like the Iron theme song. I wonder if she'd be offended, though, if I sent her that and told her that I thought that song seemed appropriate. Because obviously she doesn't think that she's odd, but I did. Fascinating yet odd. More or less awesome, just ultimately we were just incompatible, but I've kind of fallen out of touch with her. I haven't talked to her in some time. It might just be coincidence. Maybe she saw pictures of me making out with another chick and she got mad. Who knows? I'm not curious enough to find out, I'm sad to say. But yeah, basically those last 3 months or something I was in New York, we were just incommunicado. It was done like dinner, because it was just too much fighting all the time. Way too much. Not fun. Not fun no more. So then the very last week I was in New York, we kind of reconciled and patched things up. But that was the April 15th week. That's when I met my most famous, just because of Keith and the Girl and being associated with it. So when I got chances to make out with other people, oh, what can I say? I'm afraid my allegiance to Ian after 3 months of not talking was not very strong when we had only been back together for a few days. Oh well, it's not like I fucked anybody. Just some kissing and what have you. It was very fun. Anyway, speaking of internet shit like I was, I mean, it's, you know, it's exaggeration. I'm not gonna punch someone because they're a jerk on the internet. But the internet really does, man. It just rubs me the wrong way, because, you know, the good parts are nice. The positive stuff is nice, but the negative stuff is just such a downer. And the more I look around, the more I realize it's not just me. It really bugs everybody. Doug Stanhope just did a bit on his new album, started off with a track about fucking douchebags on the internet. In fact, let's listen to that right now.
Not everyone's going to enjoy the show, and more so, not everyone's going to enjoy the CD. Even more people will not enjoy the CD than will not enjoy the show. And that's fine. I've learned to live with that. But the problem is that now a lot of people who don't enjoy the show have a compunction to go home and blog about it. And that's bad, because there's a good chance I'll find that blog someday. And it will make me really sad. I'll be at some other gig on the other side of the world, and I'll be, you know, alone in a hotel room. I'm drinking vodka with yogurt because I drank all the mixers out of the mini bar. But I had that yogurt I grabbed from the Continental Breakfast, and I still have that. And I'm sitting on the computer, and I'm Google searching my own name on the internet. And that's a fucking sad night when you're in Copenhagen, Denmark, and you're drinking blueberry yogurt with vodka, and you're ego surfing your own name on Google blog search. It's a fucking sad night already. And I'm gonna find your blog about this show and all your stupid opinions, and I'm not gonna have the time or the ambition or even the physical dexterity to, you know, register to become a member of your blogosphere so I can comment back with my side of the story and, you know, find an email with a password. I won't have the time to. So let me circumvent that whole problem right here and now ahead of time and respond to your blog by saying, go fuck yourself. Who are you? What have you ever done? Think your stupid opinion counts? No one gives a shit what you think. You probably have a lot of fucking opinions. You probably have some stupid hump job where you have to wear like a orange reflective vest and you set cones around holes and you spout off your opinions to all your coworkers and bore them to tears, and you go home and you log on to CNN.com to tell Jack Cafferty how you feel about the question of the day. You wait till the end of the show to see if he reads your stupid comment. Well, if Wall Street's getting a bailout, where's my bailout? That's my question, Jack. He never reads your fucking stupid comments. You go to town hall meetings and you bring up issues that are not even on the docket, and you go over your time till they have to bang the gavel. Sir, you're over your time, sir. And that's still not enough. So you sit at night on your stupid blog. Pineapple Express didn't live up to my expectations. I'm glad I waited for a video. Fuck you again. No one gives a shit. writing horrible things about my act. You probably didn't even pay for the CD. You probably downloaded it illegally, which is fine, but then talk shit on top of it. Fuck you. I hate you. I hate you, and nobody even reads your stupid blog, because I know that, because I read the blog about how much I suck, and there was only 2 views and 0 comments, and I think I might have read this one before. Stupid opinions.
And yeah, the more you look around, just, it's not uncommon for famous or pseudo-famous people to just be fucking annoyed by that bullshit. So I feel like I'm in good company. Kevin Smith talked on Smodcast about how for years he pretty much just hung out on his own message board at viewaskew.com and was always fending off criticisms and people that didn't like him, and it's like, what did he ever do to you? Just calm down, so you didn't love every movie he made. Who gives a shit? And, but now that he's on Twitter, he had, like, his message boards had, he said, like, 70,000 people. Then they changed it to, to register, you had to donate a little money to a charity, so it was only people that really wanted to would hang around. About 14,000 people stayed around. And even then, he said some of them would just give him a hard time. And he's like, really? You paid $2 to a charity just to tell me I'm a fat idiot? Like, come on. But now that he's on Twitter, he has 1.5 million followers, and he says he loves it. For the first time, he loves the internet. All the comments he gets are nice. And in my smaller capacity, with my 500 or 600 people, I don't think I've ever gotten a negative Twitter message. And I wonder why that is. I think maybe it's because on Twitter, you're directly talking to the person. You're not really talking amongst yourselves, you know? Most people don't see each other's replies. You've got no one to showboat for. You're not showing off to anybody. And it just becomes a more one-on-one sort of human connection. And it's just nicer. It's how people really are. It's how people are supposed to be. And it's just cool. Anyway, right now my computer doesn't have an internet connection. And it's been working out well for me. It used to be when I was a younger man, you know, my late teens, early 20s, my big problem was just that I'd spend all of my time looking at porn. Like, just an absurd amount of time, because it's always right there. That's not as big a problem anymore, but it's still, you know, it's still an issue. Because it's so much easier to look up boobs than to actually do something productive. But the bigger thing now is just, there's a term for it. I can't remember what it's called. It's in the Oxford Dictionary now, though. The idea of Googling yourself. Just this obsession with your own online status. And man, I fell into that. It just sucks. I really do think it seems similar to, like, a gambling addiction. People that love when they win at a slot machine so much, you know, that buzz they get from the bright lights and the ding, ding, ding. And that positive overwhelms the negative side. No matter how many times you get slammed by the negative side of losing money to a slot machine, you just keep going back because you want the buzz you get for the positive, the winning. So on the internet, that would be, it's nice to get positive comments and, you know, you get a nice feeling from those, you get a buzz, but on the other hand, you're going to get blowback and people that don't like you and stuff that's going to just make you feel bad. And maybe not to a proportionate degree. I actually get far more nice stuff said than bad stuff, but the bad stuff is what sticks with me. So it seems like the weightier thing. But it's like I can't stop myself. If I have the internet there, I'm just... it's awful. It really is like an addiction thing. Well, with gambling machines, it's this need people have to try to decipher a system and learn how to beat a game and find out how to get the positives and avoid the negatives, except you can't. With a gambling machine, it's impossible. There is no way to do that. And I think it's similar on the internet. All you can do is be yourself. You could try, if you wanted, to pretzel yourself into some other shape and hope that you'd finally find one that everybody liked, but that's impossible. It's a fool's task. You can't do that. And I come from a pretty long line of addictable people. My grandpa was a bit of a drinker, from what I understand. My dad's quite a pothead. And by quite, I mean extremely insanely so. My brother's just a flat-out junkie. A bunch of people in my mom's family, too, have had, like, alcohol problems. And somehow, none of that really got me. But this does. This did. It's just like, this status seeking is just shitty. It makes you feel awful. It's just so stupid. So I kind of had to give myself a hard limit. I mean, like, when I lived out in Vancouver in 2005, I didn't have a computer for, like, 2 years. Didn't even have a computer. Like, that's crazy. Let alone the internet. Now I've got the computer because I need it for doing shows and various projects. But I get so much more work done when I don't have the internet connected to it. I have to go all the way to a different room and see if no one else is using the computer, and then I can use it. And it works better. I like having that physical block. Just makes me happier. Let's find another song, shall we? Here's a good one. Speaking of porn, this is a nice little short guar song called Ham on the Bone about jerking off. My life defined, ham on the Now here's an awesome fucking song. I love this song. This is a total classic of the early 90s. And I love all that alternative grunge shit. I love it. I mean, I'm 30 years old. That's exactly the right time for me. I musically came of age during all that stuff. And as the years go by and I learn more and more about it, I know more about all the threads that came together to create that phenomenon. How it's got a big dose of 70s rock, and then it's got the slower tempo of like the 80s metal. And then it's got like this hippie sort of vibe that was, this hippie punk vibe that's rebelling against the hyper-produced shit that was going on in the 80s. In the late 80s especially, when it just got absurd, you know? MC Hammer, Vanilla Ice, Rico Suave, just terrible stuff. And I even love the vibe of it. I was reading an old Evan Dorkin comic called Generation Eck about just making fun of the whole vibe of fucking goatees and long hair and plaid shirts and I don't know, man, I love that shit. I love the visuals of it. I love all of that. In New York, the 80s revival was coming back pretty strong with some touches of 90s stuff, particularly the plaid lumberjack shirts. But man, when the 80s revival is past and the 90s revival hits, it'll be good stuff because that shit was so much more down to earth and so much better. 80s revival, are you kidding? Fuck yourself. I like the 80s as much as anybody, but these fucking skinny jean jerk-offs in New York. Or you go to a skate shop now, man. All the skate shoes are in neon colors, you fruits. What the fuck is that? It's fucking retarded is what that is. So yeah, the grunge thing, it's a big amalgam of a lot of stuff. Not necessarily hyper-original. A lot of reactionary in a lot of ways. But fuck, that shit was good. And this is a song called Nearly Lost You by the Screamin' Trees. The only semi-hit they had, and it seems like it was, that was their tune. That was, even if they only came together to make this one song, and that's the only reason the Screaming Trees ever existed, that's cool. Because it's a fucking excellent song, so let's listen to that! Yeah! Hey, you want to hear a tale of frugality? The MP3 player that I've been using for the last few months was this little $15 2-gig dealie I got from a thrift store made in China. One of these ones that you just take a cap off the end and it's got a USB thing and you plug that right in and it runs on batteries. Yes, batteries. It doesn't have its own internal iPhone-y shit. But I got some rechargeable batteries. Biggity bam. That's actually better because I can have a little pocket full of batteries and my batteries ain't going to run out when I'm walking around for hours. I can replace them and recharge them later. Anyway, the thing is cheap as shit to begin with. I lost the cap off it some time ago, so the USB part's always exposed, and just now I lost the little back panel part that holds the battery in. So I'm backtracking briefly to see if I can find it, see where it fell in the snow. But it's nighttime, that's probably not gonna happen. But it's okay. I just gotta get like a little elastic band and toss that on there, and that'll make sure the battery stays secure. And I just think it's amazing that I'm the weird one here who thinks this is okay and normal. I'm like, yeah, whatever, man, who gives a shit? I don't care if I got my little cheapy MP3 player that's held together by fucking an elastic band. If anything, I actually am kind of proud of it. I like bucking the trend of this ultra-consumer fucking bullshit, stupid-ass society we have, living way beyond their means, blowing all kinds of money they don't have on stupid horse shit that they don't need. That's why, I mean, I've said it a bunch of times, but man, all that shit about the economy going around in the United States, man, shut your fucking mouth. Shut the fuck up. I remember, well, that was one thing on my Twitter I did mention, like, hey, I love this little MP3 player I got. It's so cheap. It's fucking fantastic. Someone was like, we realize that purchasing things from China is part of why the economy is so bad. Fuck you. Don't pretend you understand how world economics works for one goddamn thing. I'm not saying I do, but you don't either, whoever you were, random person. But what is this crazy fucking, what's the word for it even? This weird self-absorption that people think they have an effect on anything like that. Nothing I buy and no money I transfer ever in my whole life is going to affect anything about a country's economy in any fucking way. Like, I just can't believe people don't understand what a drop in the fucking bucket they are. Buying a $15 MP3 player as opposed to buying a $200 fucking Apple bullshit piece of crap that also breaks at approximately the same rate is not gonna help or hinder anyone's economy. It just fucking drives me nuts. Worry about your own dumb little life. Worry about not blowing all of your money on horse shit. That's all that's gonna make any kind of difference. It'll make a difference to your individual life or it won't. You're not carrying your goddamn economy around on your back, you stupid fucking Americans. I hate you all, you fucking idiots. Fuck you. Stupid shits. Jesus Christ. Let's just get upset about everything all the time. Oh no, there's a new crisis in the newspaper. Oh shit. The world must be falling apart. Let's all get agitated and miserable. Do you ever look at a newspaper? Every day. Every day it's some new thing. For 8 years they strung you along. For the Bush bullshit after 2001, always a new reason to be scared and to tighten things up and to let these massive power structures become a little more powerful because everyone's worried all the time. Fuck you! It's just so obvious, man, especially now that I've been there and come back. The politics of fear, just so in play down in the States. Everything is fake conflict and phony worry and pointless debate about shit that you can't affect in any way. And that probably doesn't actually affect you.
The leads are weak.
The leads are weak. The fucking leads are weak. You're weak.
Faith. Too better than these sins. I know faith isn't one of them, but I should have been. Cause when things are crumbling,
Boy, you know, ranting about stuff kind of warms you up. I'm feeling all right. Let's see what other songs I can find to play. Let's end with a couple Weezer songs. First, this is a song called Oh Lisa that was an outtake from the Green album sessions. One of those songs that's, you know, it's a medium good song, but it's got these little moments in it that are just really good. These really nice little parts that kind of keep me coming back. And then a little demo called Our Game Is Over, Game Over, something about a game being over. Nice little in the bedroom acoustic solo type song. Very pretty. Nice little way to end off the show. Happy birthday, happy new year, happy fucking Hanukkah, I don't know, whatever, Christmas, all that shit. Knock yourself the fuck out. Here's some songs.
Swimming hole so I can hear it. brother. Reset, can't reset the tears. So sad, princess isn't here. She's making out with all my fears. Our game is over. This love is over.